whole show is just one unfolding collage of awkward moments today. Hello. Let's now continue that. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. Hey, who's showing news stories privately over there?
I'm teasing.
If you let him get to the news, then...
We're doing news amongst ourselves.
Zing. A guy sent me
our
a...
news hour. I thought today was going to be noon and 1 o'clock news hours.
We're getting to lots of... We just did 20 minutes with McCarthy. Speaking of zing... Okay, you see this pen that I've got here? I know you can't see this, but this pen... You know, for years, and everybody who knows me knows this, for like 15 years I've been using the Pilot V5 Ultrafine Sharpie. I'm just saying, that's the pen that I've been using.
And you buy those little stickers that you can put at the very end of your pen and write Rick on all of them.
I don't want other people to use my pens.
Sure you don't.
I like these
Where
pens a lot.
Where do you even find such small stickers to put at the end of your pen?
A special sticker place.
Okay.
And then the irony of that, though, is... that those stickers are so small, the stickers that I use to mark my ballpoint pens here, it's not even really a ballpoint, it's a needlepoint, but the stickers that I use to label these pens are so small that this pen is actually the only kind that will write on those stickers. It's sort of a closing of the circle kind of a thing.
I don't think that's ironic.
It's not ironic, it's that word that's like ironic. Literal. I don't know what I'm talking about. But they quit making my pen, is the point. I went into an Office Depot this weekend, and I was horrified to find that they no longer make that pen after 15 years of me only using that pen. That pen and only that pen. They've stopped making it. So I've had to use this sort of, I don't know, they replaced it with this thing called the Precise 5 Rolling Ball, which they claim is sort of the same thing, but it's a different color, and it's kind of like a different sort of cap on it. It's kind of, the whole thing is kind of freaking me out.
Are we in the news hour again?
I had some point. News at McCarthy...
What are your pencils of choice?
There are no pencils of choice. What was the point? I honestly had some point that was going to tie into Tim's news just now. My pen... it's gone. I have nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk.
Do you have a compass?
You have a protractor. Slide rule. Lara's dad not only has a slide rule, because he was an engineer, he's got the full-on thick book on how to use it.
That is impressive.
It is. It's genius.
Well, here we are. From a high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting with a breaking story.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me find the breaking news here. This is...
Robin Williams is in rehab in Newburgh.
Bing!
Now, apparently he checked into rehab. After a 3-year battle with booze, his wife said she was going to leave him after he was spotted. Well, snuggling to a cutie in a bar.
He was spotted a
cutie in a bar.
Cutie.
To save himself and his 17-year marriage, he entered a 30-day program at Hazelden Springbrook Alcohol Rehab in Newburgh, Oregon.
Hazelden, is that here?
In Oregon?
It is a quiet countryside.
Let's go heckle.
Yeah.
It is located at 1901 Esther Street in Newburgh. Their phone number, toll-free, is 1-800-333-3712.
Call an offer to buy him around.
It was established in 1990 and is located in the quiet countryside of Newburgh, Oregon.
I think that's where...
On a 23-acre campus, promoting an atmosphere of respect, serenity, and support.
I think that's where Aaron Sorkin went to rehab, I think, that because he referred to that in an episode of The West Wing. Mm-hmm. Leo McGarry went to a place called Hazel Dell, which I think is a knockoff of Hazelton, and Leo McGarry's character is pretty obviously Sorkin. Why would you only threaten to leave Robin Williams? Why wouldn't you just leave?
Well, apparently...
It's the perfect chance to get out and take half his money.
My drink of choice is vodka, he told the pal.
Uh-oh.
You have something in common.
Sarah really is like Robin Williams in almost every way.
He said, I would buy 2 pints at a time, 1 for each jacket pocket, and I would go into Asian-owned liquor stores because he didn't think Asians would recognize him.
Asians.
But Asians would say, Robin Williams, you buy liquor?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going for that same button right here.
So Robin Williams is now at Hazelden Springbrook.
Fantastic. Well, that'll keep him from making movies for at least a month or two. Thank
two
God.
2 pints of vodka a day? Mm-hmm.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot.
See, and that because I'm not really a drinking kind of, I don't really know all about that. All I know is...
like a pint.
Is that a pint, really?
Yeah, a little bit smaller.
Oh, a pint is like that thing of Everclear I've got on my desk.
So it's like 16 ounces.
So it makes you wonder if he was under the influence when he said his bosom's on fire and Mrs. Doubtfire.
When he made Patch Adams and everything after that.
Mm-hmm. So that's this much vodka every day.
That's insane. I remember when Alice Cooper went into rehab one time. The first time that Alice Cooper went into rehab, he was drinking... Why, hello!
Is somebody out there?
It's Robin Williams. Out there.
It's Robin Williams.
It's Robin Williams. Hello, sir.
I was just reading about snakes on a plane.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.
Carry on.
Carol comes and stares in the window sometimes just to unnerve us.
I don't mean to interrupt magic. I'm just,
that's
reading,
okay.
Just reading your sign.
No magic going on in here.
Thank you, sir. No, John Paul was, he was for the program for a couple was staring in the window. No, but Alice Cooper, when he went into rehab the first time, Alice Cooper was drinking. He said that his drink of choice was Seagram's 5-0, and he was drinking two bottles of Seagram's 5-0 a day, and that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of drinking. And he said that if he couldn't get two bottles of Seagram's 5-0, like if he was in a country we couldn't get 5-0, he would drink two cases of beer a day. Two cases of beer. And he said he had to quit because he was throwing up. He actually was not going to die from alcohol poisoning. He was actually going to die from blood loss because he was throwing up so much blood into the toilet every day.
God.
So he was actually throwing up so much blood that they told him he would die of blood loss some morning. That's unnerving is what that is. So, anyway, so Robin Williams is taken off the streets. He will no longer be menacing you with these horrible family
making,
films.
Making movies like Patches.
And see, that's what I'm saying.
Or is that, what's the
Patch
name?
Adams.
Patch Adams. That movie still scarred me.
I would take this opportunity, if I were him, to just blame everything on the booze. Son of Flubber, all of those, would just blame it all on the drinking. All right. Yes, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. City of Mel Gibson, Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. Good afternoon.
It's been an exciting couple of weeks. Now, you said the sad thing is, just when we needed you most, as Winger said, you were miles away, Jim Roop. You just as the whole Mel Gibson thing was imploding, suddenly you were no longer to be found.
Well, what's weird is I told CNN, I said, should I head back to L.A.? I was in San Diego for that, you know, the National Guard thing.
Right.
And they said, no.
What could possibly be going on?
I said, okay. I could smell a story from from 150 miles away.
Oh, man, it's such genius. That Mel Gibson thing, that is just fried gold.
Isn't that great?
That's golden apples being handed to you by the Lord above is what that is. And now he's in rehab, but he's in rehab.
Outpatient rehab.
Now, what is it?
It's an ongoing recovery program.
Mm.
That's how his publicist.
Sounds like I'm drinking on the air.
Does he go home at the end of the day?
I was going to say, what is outpatient rehab? Is that where you just go home?
He might be wandering around Newburgh?
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of Robin Williams.
Okay, sorry.
Oh.
No, Robin Williams locked himself up, I think.
Okay,
he's in our fine state right now.
Becoming horribly confused. Robin Williams is in an actual place, like a home, in Newburgh, Oregon, right?
Yes.
And that is near Coos Bay, correct?
No, it's South Apure.
Well, what am I thinking of that's by Coos Bay?
That's
the 1152 bar.
Some other place.
I don't think there's anything in Coos Bay.
Just that ship, just the new Carissa, yeah. Rotting away.
Yeah.
Newport. Scotty's Newport. Okay.
This is Newburgh.
Mel Gibson is holding this show together with bailing wire. Mel Gibson
he's a 95 recovery.
He is at an outpatient. Now, what is that? Is that where you just go home and they call you every day and go, well, try not to drink?
Yeah, I guess. Or he'll go in and, you know, sit in his group and talk about how wonderful he feels that he's not drinking and how he's putting his family back together and all of this great stuff.
Exactly. Don't we have a story coming up today, Tim, about Mel Gibson?
His religious fanaticism cloaked a dark, desperate soul who was capable of horrendous rage and bigotry, fueled by massive amounts of booze, drugs, and available women, says a Malibu friend, quoted by a tabloid.
That's genius. Excellent. But here's the sad news, though. The sad news is that, of course, this came out the other day, that we are not going to be seeing, apparently, the arrest video of Mel Gibson. Now, why is that, Jim Roop?
Well, the counsel for this county says that the video and the audio tapes are part of the investigatory file.
What is there to investigate? It seems like the investigation's been done. He was boozing and groping a bunch of blonde women and then started screaming about Jews.
As long as they don't say that the investigation is over, they can keep that away from any of these government guidelines.
No.
Basically, Public Information Acts. The California has one specific, and it's exempt from that. The investigatory file is exempt from all those mandates by the government. So they're going to keep it in that file.
That is just, that is so wrong and so cruel.
It's not like we haven't seen a lot of it anyway.
I don't think we've seen any of it though, have we?
Well,
I mean,
not the arresting video, but we've seen that stuff from the bar that night.
We've seen the picture that Sarah has posted, he's on her blog, of him groping the women
But the women say he didn't grope them.
Uh-huh. He was canoodling though.
It was just posing for pictures like any good celebrity would do.
Yes. I'm just trying to service the fans one at a time.
Yes, I'll sign that, ma'am.
Yes. It just seems like obviously this is the power of celebrity and so forth, but you would think that, I don't know, that the nature of his remarks and the nature of this horrid behavior is enough that you'd think that a little bit of his power in that town and his clout would have dissipated. It surprises me that he is going to be able to kind of keep this suppressed, because some of these websites, these gossip sites like TMZ.com, a lot of these websites, you think it's just some geek in a bedroom somewhere, but a lot of these sites have sort of deep pockets.
Yeah.
And you would think that they would be able to exert enough pressure, rather.
Well, TMZ, that's Harvey Levin's site. You know who Harvey Levin is?
I do not.
He's a big Fox guy, but he's also the guy you see on the newest editions of People's Court, the guy outside the courthouse.
Oh, right, like the Doug Llewellyn of the new age.
Well, he's not the Doug Llewellyn guy. It's the guy that they go to outside where all the people are standing around.
Okay, all right.
He's been local L.A. He's a lawyer, but he's been a sort of a lawyer-journalist kind of guy for years.
All right.
So it's his site, so it's not like he's some geek in a bedroom either, although he may be a geek in the bedroom, we don't know.
Those are our people, though. So,
yeah.
Well,
I don't know. It's a very strange story. It's going to last forever, it seems. And you're right, Mel Gibson's clout has not dissipated one iota. At least that's the way it seems.
You know,
ever since the way ABC distanced themselves, they didn't say due to recent events, you know, we're going to cut this. We're not going to pursue this project of Gibson's. They just said, look, we haven't seen anything in a couple of years, so maybe we're not going to pursue this project. So even they're being careful.
Did they send you down to to watch these guys line up for American Idol?
Yeah.
Is it true that there was 100,000 people lined up for that?
Estimates are between 10 and 20,000.
Really? Because somebody had told us this morning that there was 100,000, but it's still 20,000 people.
Not 100.
Let me ask you this. Is it just that these people don't have jobs? Because you've got to wonder what sort of slowdown effect this has on the California economy when 20,000 people wait for 36 hours to try out for a reality
program. Well, I was surprised at the number of people I've talked to from out of state. I'm talking North Carolina,
right.
Utah, I mean, from all over the place. People, you know, brought their kids. Their parents bring their kids down to this thing, because you have to be, you know, 16 to 28 years old.
Right.
But there were some just horrendous singing. Oh, my God. And I said to one guy, I said, you've seen the show, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you know the caliber of talent that you have to get to that point, right? He said, yeah. I said, and do you think you're going to make it? He said, oh, yeah.
Oh, no. See, this is the thing we've learned is that people have no idea how badly they suck sometimes.
And no one has the guts to tell them except for me.
No. Just you. You are the truth teller of a new age, Jim Roop. It is up to you. Who will tell the people? Jim Roop is who will tell the people.
Well, I wanted to save the guy some heartache.
Well, no, because we have a friend of ours, a longtime friend of the show, a woman named Storm Large. We've talked about her. She's on Rockstar Supernova. And everybody's sort of expecting her to go the distance. She is, in our estimation, and we don't say this because she's a friend of the show, we do believe that she is one of the top couple contestants. She's of the 10 remaining, she's probably in the top two. She's very talented. But there's a couple people there's this woman on Rockstar Supernova named Zaira, who is just, I got more talent in my navel lint than this woman's got in her entire body. I have fingernail pairings that could sing with more skill than her. But clearly, A, no one will tell her, and B, even if they were to tell her, you can tell that she would not believe them. You can tell that in her head, it sounds flawless. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like people who videotape themselves having sex because they are under the illusion that they will look like Jenna Jameson and, you know, like Fabio. But you don't. As Sam Kinison once noted, you look like two shaved polar bears rolling around on a waterbed.
I miss that guy.
Seriously, man. Just making a lot of like noises, you know, like you need to be put down with a dart. It's not good. And that's what so many of these reality show I guess people don't care. I guess it really is the Patty Chayefsky thing of people just will do anything to get on television. They don't care what they look like, how they're depicted, how horrid they look, and how much they're staining their family name forever. So, I guess, hey, you will never go broke in this country pandering to the lowest common denominator.
I'll tell you, I was down there for several hours, and it took, I guess they opened the gates finally at 8 o'clock. I started watching some of the, you know, they bring them up four at a time in front of some non-face producer types. You get 20 seconds to give your best. And I think I was there for nearly 90 minutes before one of them was able to go on to the next round next month.
I think they ought to do a thing where it's like the bottom 5% are just set on fire. You know what I mean? Right there on camera. That's, I'd pay per view. I'd pay to buy that on DVD.
Yeah, with a flamethrower. That's what I'm just point at him. Well, he will be back next time.
It'd be like that thing that Blofeld has in the James Bond movies where he hits the goodbye, Mr. Bond, and he did the trapdoor right into the piranha tank.
That's what you need.
I would watch that.
It was sad. It was brutal.
American Idol or else.
And some of these people, it was just obvious. They just suck.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, hell. Right? And they sit there and go, well, this isn't going to stop me.
Yeah.
Well, then I would stand in front of a train because something's got to stop you.
See, that's the, let me just tell you, we've been talking to Bob Costantini in Washington, D.C. for the last couple of weeks because Lisa Goddard was, she was in the Middle East, and then now she's in combat training, and then she's taking a little vacation before she goes back to Jerusalem. So we've been talking to Bob Costantini, and it's so great that in about, I don't know, 10 to 12 days, it's taking us, he's gone from being, like, very staid, very conservative, always wanted to have this sort of pastiche of, this, he wanted to have this veneer of objectivity when he spoke to us, but we've slowly broken him down to Roop-like levels, where he just doesn't care, man, he just says it the way it is, he just comes out and says whatever's on his mind.
It's journalism, babe, true journalism.
That's what I'm saying, it's, we have stripped away all of the veneer, and we've gotten to the real Bob Costantini underneath, and he is better for it. He is slowly but surely following in your footsteps.
Now we
friend.
Have to, so too few men in
that's,
this world.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Jim Roop, we will talk
glad
to you soon, brother. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy your Los Angeles day. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Roop in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
Downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk News Beat in other reporting. Well, because everybody's talking about all these reality shows, nobody paid any attention to the celebration of love and laughter for Red Buttons.
Did you really just say that?
Sure.
Oh, that's genius.
Once it comes out of my mouth, it's too hard to put it back in. The life Hello. Of the late comedian was celebrated with deli sandwiches on a red carpet at the Century Club in Century City. Among those attending, Rose Marie,
oh my God.
Nanette Fabre, Mickey Rooney, and Jane Meadows.
And then Fabre from Johnny Get Angry fame?
I don't know, but she's 85 and still pretty and active, it says here. As pretty and active as one could be at 85, I suppose.
I must be thinking of somebody else. Nanette Fabre.
Nanette Fabre.
Isn't Nanette Fabre the girl that sang, okay, I'm...
No, you're thinking of Shelley Fabre.
Shelley Fabre.
From the Donna Reed Show.
What did she sing? Was it Johnny Get
Angel.
Angry?
No, Johnny
oh,
Angel.
Johnny Angel. Okay.
I'm part of the geezer demographic. I know these things.
I'm thinking of... Who sang Johnny Get Angry? Do you know that song?
Yep.
Johnny Get Angry,
that
Johnny
was, that
Get
was
Mad.
That was the sequel to that song.
Was it really?
Yeah. She did two Johnny songs.
Johnny Get Angry, you want to talk about a song that you could never release today. That's a song that you would never be allowed to sing that. Johnny Get Angry is a fantastic song. It's all about a woman who needs to be put in her place because she wants a man to cuff her around a little bit and show her who's boss. And then
maybe the Dixie Chicks could do that.
Maybe. And then, or Courtney Love. And then who sang that song, that other song from that same era? There was a trifecta. There was Johnny Angel, Johnny Get Angry, that great line where she says, I want a brave man, I want a caveman.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I want... Johnny Get Angry, the lyrics to the song went, I know this because I worked at Oldies, and even in like 1991 we were still playing this song. The lyrics of the song are, Johnny Get Angry, Johnny Get Mad, give me... Because it's like she's been talking to another guy, and she wants her man to give her what for. She's angry that her boyfriend is not jealous.
Oh, I see.
And so, because she's been talking to another boy. Mm-hmm. And the chorus is, Johnny Get Angry, Johnny Get Mad, give me the biggest lecture I ever had. Mm-hmm. I want a brave man, I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care, for me. And so she's pissed off that the boyfriend is just like not... not upset. She wants him to yell at her, which is kind of hot and creepy. Mm-hmm. And then there's this song that came out on the same era called He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember He
No.
Hit Me and
I
It Felt Like
that.
A Kiss?
No.
Please
sing
it. I'll get the chipmunks. We'll
go, get the go see if they have it on 45 in the next studio. It's gonna be sounded, maybe it's in the box of scratchy 45s. And
right next to Timothy. You know what I heard the other day? Speaking of horrific songs.
Rubber Ball.
No, it wasn't that. It was Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town.
Oh, that can't be played again, no.
God damn, what a depressing song that is.
Oh, it's horrible.
Man, I haven't heard Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. I mean, one of it with Kenny Rogers songs that you think back on them and they seem so peaceful and wonderful, and then you listen to them now and they're just, it's all like rape and sexual dysfunction.
Uh-huh.
I mean, God, because Ruby, and Sarah probably doesn't know that, but Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. If you remember, you know that song by Kenny Rogers? I'm sure
no,
they're playing it at a Kenny Rogers Roasters near you. Remember we were having that whole discussion one day about Coward of the County by Kenny Rogers and how everybody just has memories of that, you know, everyone considered him the coward of it in the county, and it's just this perky song you remember from your childhood.
Oh, it's all about the raping.
It's the gang raping.
Yeah.
You listen to Donnie Marie doing that.
You listen, the Chipmunks. We play the Chipmunks version.
Yeah, we do.
And it's all about the Gatlin boys coming over and, you know, giving Becky what for the hundreds of times in a row, apparently. And so, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town is an equally uplifting song about a Vietnam veteran who can no longer perform sexually, and so whose wife goes into town and has sex with various other men, and he is at home with a gun waiting to kill her when she walks in the front door.
Oh,
it's the best song ever. And it was like a huge hit, and you don't really... We've become so Jesus take the wield in this country that you don't really remember how really dark country music used to be and can be. Until you're listening to a song about a guy in a wheelchair with a shotgun waiting to take off his wife's face when she walks in the front door. Because his Aryan no longer works.
There was patches when that girl was lying face down in that dirty old river.
Totally, yeah. Oh, man. And Tell Laura I Love Her.
Oh, that was another one, too.
Yeah. We had to just do a whole death day. Nothing but songs about death.
That'll be fun.
Wait, yeah. Paul. Hello, Paul. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Joni Summers sang that song, Johnny Get Angry.
All right. Would you like to favor us with your rendition of Johnny Get Angry, Paul?
Before I do that, I want to know she used to do the Pepsi Cola commercial jingles back in.
You're part of the Pepsi generation.
That was Joni Summers, but here it goes.
All right.
Johnny Get Angry, Johnny Get Mad. You give me the biggest lecture you ever had. I want a brave man. I want a caveman. Oh, Rick, won't you care for me?
All right. You had me until the end, and now it's just become wait, hold on. No, I'm sorry.
Will I make the idol? I don't.
Oh, now we're losing. No, sorry. No. Oh, no, phone call's gone. That's too bad. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. There you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, on Sunday, Entourage drew 2.4 million viewers, down 300,000 since its season premiere in June.
Doesn't matter.
Meanwhile, Blue's Clues drew 3.2 million viewers.
Here's why it doesn't matter. Because if you watch Aunt A, it doesn't matter about this for HBO, because HBO is... It doesn't matter how many people watch any particular airing of a particular show on HBO, because that show is not advertiser-supported. HBO is not commercial-driven. It is not commercial. It is not sponsor-supported. That network is solely through subscription. And so it doesn't matter how many people watch Entourage on Sunday, because if you watch Entourage, what happens? As soon as the show's over, there's that little, you know, honk, and it fades out, and then there's the, starting tomorrow, the program you just watched will be available on whatever, direct, what is that thing?
On demand.
So it doesn't, because they tout these for the Sopranos, too, and they'll use this as so-called evidence that the Sopranos is down, which is not the case. It's just that you can watch it whenever you want.
Well, that's better.
This is a good time to talk about Entourage, though. Sarah, did you see Sunday's Entourage?
No, and I'm not going to until
God.
This week, so don't tell me.
I'm not
going to
ruin it.
Now, how about a spoiler?
Okay, now, first of all, Sarah's the one who spoils. Sarah is the one who gives things away. For instance, when I...
Oh, the Britney Spears song?
I wonder, when? When could you have given something away?
You're so lame.
Well, you know what would be great is if I never found out who this was.
Brittany, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Why would that be great?
Mystery ruined. That's okay.
You see my problem, Mystery.
It's all right. All I'm saying is, in the entire history of this program... In the entire history
Kim
of this program...
Kim is the spoiler.
Which, the robot did it.
Yes.
We should do a program where we just go through all the movies with big twists at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis is dead the whole time, by the way.
Superman flies away at the end.
We should do... But with the exception of that day that we had Trevor on from the Rockstar, in which we give a huge warning. Have I ever come on and spoiled anything?
I think you did once. I remember some listeners being mad at you.
I'm saying at this point, I sort of take offense because Joni does that. I'll be like, oh, I saw the, you know, such and such movie. She's like, don't spoil it. And it...
People are afraid of you spoiling things because obviously you do them.
I don't. It's that they are surrounded by people who do, and I take offense at being lumped in with the kind of person who would spoil a movie. I don't do that.
Well, you're not going to spoil Entourage for me, then.
I'm not! That's why I'm saying you don't have to give me the warning. I take umbrage when you give me the warning.
This is what you do. Then all of a sudden you're going to be like, let me just say this.
I'm not going to spoil it.
No, what are you going to say?
I'm nothing spoiling.
I'm going to leave the room.
I'm simply going to say this.
See, I just said that you were going to say that.
Mm. I am saying it. All I'm saying is this about that. That as it enters, because there's now only three episodes left of this third season, third seasons are usually, it's usually the second and third seasons are the best. Fourth season you got to watch out for. You go on down the line, you know, you take some recent example, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a great example, Angel, great example, Gilmore Girls, great example, West Wing, great example. Second season, great. Third season, at its peak. Fourth season, that's when they start to fall off. So, but this season of Entourage has been fantastic, and I will say that the great thing about Entourage is when Vince dies, I love that they get those guys to play themselves. I love people who will play themselves against type. Like on the Larry Sanders Show, when David Duchovny played himself as gay, when David Duchovny came on and he was, again, I mean, gay, he was sort of because of closeted or whatever, but David Duchovny came on as David Duchovny and then was hitting on Larry Sanders. And it was so great that he would play himself, but like a weird version of himself. And they have, and this is not a spoiler because it unfolds very naturally and gradually. It's not out of nowhere. But Seth Green does that. And Seth Green plays, you know, himself, Seth Green and his posse. But he plays himself so against type. It's like a real boozer kind of macho party guy.
And he's not?
Well, but like they take it so far. They take it, and there's a moment.
Yeah, I've only seen when they saw Seth Green at the pool when he was tracking down her good friend.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, no, Seth, that's not what it looks like. Never is, man. And he's all wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But man, they take it so far, and there's a moment I will not give away, though, where like Lara and I were watching it, and I know it's HBO and they get away with saying a lot, but man, there's a moment in this Entourage that everybody who sees it knows the line I'm talking about. Where you're watching it like, oh, there's Seth Green. Oh, that zany Seth Green. Oh! And he says something that you cannot believe a human being sat down and wrote. Somebody sat down and was like, and then Seth Green says, it's insane. It's crazy. So.
Well, I'm gonna watch it tomorrow.
Let me ask you this about Entourage. Because Lara had made this observation about Entourage. Of the five main dudes on Entourage, which are Ari, Turtle, Vince, E, and Drama, who would you say, based on my wife, what you know about her, and then me, who would you say that she would find the most sexually desirable of the five main men on Entourage?
Probably E.
Okay, you are so wrong about that.
Really?
Guess.
Turtle?
Yes. Turtle, and how bizarre
is
that?
There is a slight appeal about Turtle.
She said it unprompted. It wasn't like I asked. This is a moment that some guys know. It's an awkward moment where you're sitting on the couch, cuddling with your significant other, a person that you've spent a great deal of time with, a person that you have a romantic and wonderful relationship with. And then, it wasn't like I said, would you please now to list for me the order in which you would like to have sex with members of Entourage?
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. We're sitting on the couch. I'm like, well, what a great show. And she's like, I would really have sex with Turtle. And I'm like, dude, why would you say that? B, what? C, who are you? And but then I had to know. Then I was like, why? And then please now to list
and now
the
I'm
five members.
About it.
Now I had to know. So here's the order in which she finds, and this is not the actors, but the characters. Here's the order in which my wife finds.
Can I try?
I will write down her order. Wait, hold on. All right. Okay. So I am now listing top to bottom, so to speak, the order in which my wife would have sex with the cast or the characters on Entourage.
Turtle, Ari, Vincent, Johnny, Eric.
No. It's Turtle, Eric, Vince, Ari, and then of course Drama's laugh last, which she said like she prefaced it with like, well, and of course Drama's last. So yes, Turtle, which is bizarre.
It's not, though. I mean, there's...
Is it because he's a rap producer now?
Yeah, once he gets into the production, you actually start to see his talent. He does become a little more attractive.
Is it because he's a playa?
No.
Is it because he's a man who can get things done?
No, that's the most annoying thing he does when he walks up to girls. He's like, what's up, sweetheart? Like, anyone who said that, I'd be like, get away from
see,
me.
Now,
which is what the girls do.
Because now, you know who Turtle reminds me of a lot, and I've said this many times
Ian?
On the program. His name is Ian Gordon. So, Ian Gordon, who's, you know, is on Fuel, is our former weapon master, good friend of ours. Ian and Turtle, man, it's like they... It's like you cast somebody to play Ian Gordon on a TV show, and Turtle is who they came up with. Because they both have, because some white guys can pull off the, you know, the hip hop attitude and the, you know, sort of the black dialect and the rap talk and the, you know, all that, just those mannerisms, you know what I mean? Some white guys, you know, a very small number can pull that off. Most cannot. Ian can totally pull it off. You get the feeling it's not a pose, not a front. It's just he's a guy who grew up very heavily influenced by black and rap culture and just it's just totally part of the way he talks. So it is with Turtle. Whereas when Drama tries to do it, it's just retarded. So anyway, but it's one of those bizarre things, one of those conversations that you don't really...
And you feel like you don't even know your wife anymore?
Well, I wonder, how is it that... How is it that my wife, who picked me out of the many, many millions of men, you know, that lived in that part of the country, she came up with me somehow, and yet of all the guys on the show, she prefers the one who was the least like me in every way.
Because it's a guy on a show, Rick. You're obsessing.
I'm not obsessing.
Yes,
I'm just saying
obsessing.
It's curious. Well, what is your order? You speaking for you personally.
For me, I like...
Wait,
I,
let me guess.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Should I write them down?
Yes. Attention, Nate. These are now the characters on Entourage with whom Sarah would have sex in the following order. All right. Have you got it all written down?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Oh, wait. This is... hello, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I just want to say one thing about Entourage. And just so you know, I
swear to God, if you spoil this, I'm going to have to deal with Sarah for the rest of the day, and I'll hunt you down and kill you.
I'm gonna tell you something that they've done. I'm not gonna spoil anything. I swear to God.
Okay. All right.
But just so you know, I'm just now in the last few days back in a car with a radio, so I haven't. Maybe you've covered this.
Okay.
What I want to say is the show is
Sarah.
Too goddamn short.
Oh, it's true. They leave you wanting more. Not unlike this very fine radio program.
After the first season, I actually considered not that I could possibly do this because I'm not nearly as powerful as I'd like to think I am, but I wanted so badly to boycott the show and get like everyone on the planet to boycott it unless they turned it into a 60-minute program, but of course I couldn't.
You know, but they leave you wanting more, and the deal is it's almost worth it to wait until the season is done and then just watch it all in the course of a weekend.
Yeah, like TiVo it or something.
Yeah.
But they do it with The Sopranos. They give you 60 minutes of The Sopranos.
Yeah. Dramedies don't really hold up for a full hour, though. It can be very tricky. The great thing about Entourage, though, is it does hold up to repeated viewings. So
you're always left
so
hanging
angry.
At the end of a Sopranos episode. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're always left hanging at the end. I mean,
you realize you're complaining about the fact that the show is of such high quality that there's never enough of it.
That's true.
We should all have such problems. I'm sure the people in Baghdad are very sympathetic to our plight that Entourage is only 30 minutes and it should be 60. All right, thank you, Mike.
See ya.
All right, there you go. All right, so you've gotten written down the Entourage characters and the order in which you would like to sleep with them.
Yes.
All right. I'm saying number one, Ari.
No.
Really?
Eric.
Okay. Number two, Vince.
No.
Number two, Ari.
Yes.
Number three, Vince.
Yes.
Number four, Turtle.
Yes.
Number five, Drama.
Yes.
All right, there you go. So not...
Okay.
Now, what is it about E that makes him... Is it because he's a good boy? Is it because he's
No, it's not even
decent...
the fact he's a good boy. I like that he actually works at his job. Like, he actually... Because Vince just kind of, you know...
Floats through.
Yeah, he just kind of floats through. Ari's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But that's still very appealing.
This is like that thing you have for... What's his name? Ryan.
on the...
Is it Ryan on Rockstar Supernova? The guy who's dressed like the Riddler last night? He had, like, the makeup?
Well, because he has the thing I like, the dark hair, dark eyes, but he's also from New York, so...
Yeah. All right, like, well, we'll talk about that when we come back. Jen Lane is in his house, as Ian Gordon would say. We come back, we'll do Rockstar Recap. Jen Lane is here. We'll have more with Tim Ryan. Note all the news we're getting to today, by the way.
It's just too much.
It's tons of news. Mountains of news.
Less is more.
Okay. That's why it's like an inch-thick stack of news that we haven't gotten to.
That's in case of an emergency.
Okay. That's in case we're all trapped in a mine together.
It's for Homeland Security.
Okay. We'll do a Rockstar Recap. Like us, don't forget, at 3:06. Don and Mike at 7. 11 p.m., John and Jeff. We're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. We'll get to the storm watch in just a moment. I knew this was a mistake. Did you see the picture of Davey?
Oh, the one on your website?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
You should go look at it now with your microphone open. Right now, as they used to say in school, in front of God and everyone, Davey sent me, go to rickemerson.com, picture of Davey Neeples. As musical director for the Balls, Snuggler of Storm.
And your new boyfriend.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No, click on it. You got to see it enlarged.
Oh,
you got to see it when it gets big. The picture. Yeah, look at that.
Oh.
Try to sleep now, huh?
Why?
The goggles, they do nothing!
Why would you show that?
Why should I suffer alone? Hello.
I can't. It's like one of those things you can't stop looking, but
yeah.
It's so...
See? You want to look back, but then it burns. It burns so badly. Yeah.
God.
We'll talk about that in just a second. We'll talk about why. Why, Ellen? Why do you do these things? We'll talk about that. Why am I talking like Burgess Meredith all the time lately?
I don't know.
So that's what turns you on?
Burgess Meredith, yes. Hello, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Jen Lane, Barfly Magazine. How are you?
I'm swell.
Burgess Meredith makes me hot.
Yeah, especially a spike leather thong.
Burgess Meredith.
He's wearing a leather bustier.
Let's
be very clear. Cap like Vito.
Let's be very clear, we are not talking about Burgess Meredith in a leather thong. Why, Helen? Do you even know what I'm talking about when I do that? There's a famous Twilight Zone episode. I should clarify this
once
for all.
Yeah, is that the one with the cage?
No, what?
Like the elevator cage thing? No.
Elevator cage thing?
No.
Okay. Are you sure this isn't something you dreamt?
No.
No, it's the episode where he's the last man on Earth and he loves to read and then he breaks his glasses. It's a famous Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, yeah.
But he has a wife who hates books. It's a very heavy-handed episode about readers versus non-readers. Anyway, he has a wife who takes his book and she will find his books of poetry and she'll scribble out the pages or rip them out. And so he thinks he's hidden this book of poetry and he's going to read when she's not looking. And so he takes out the book of poetry to read, you know, to like, oh, I've got a few minutes alone, I can read. And he opens it up and the pages have all been blacked out because she hates books. She's an anti-reader. She's an anti-intellectual. And he looks up and he goes, why, Helen? Why do you do these things? I just make him sound like a reptile or something, a creepy alien when I do it. I'm going to get that sound. Listen to this now. Rick, this email says, I am still breathing hard over that picture of Davey. Says this email. That's not me, by the way. I'm going to hunt him down like a dog in the street, and then I'm going to blank until my blank is blank. Signed, Bob. Oh, that's gay Bob, by the way. He's moved on from lusting after Kyle and Scotty. Why, Helen? So anyway, and so forth. Let's welcome now to the... we should open the storm watch, shouldn't we? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now... it's all very disturbing.
Attention residents of the greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage. I take control of the show and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
Let's now begin today's Storm Watch and our Rockstar Recap. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Kristen from accounting. How are you, Kristen? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Just peachy, yes.
Okay. And so
can
we were...
Now?
What's it? Yes, yes, I can. Okay. We've had some issues with the phone volume and the so forth and the hey, but there's not a lot of standout horrible moments from last night's show, except for some moments that I suspect we will not all agree on. Like when What's-His-Name was dressed as a tube of licorice.
Ooh, Ryan.
Yeah. Is that Ryan?
I thought that was so pathetic.
See, Sarah's all aglow just thinking about it.
No, yeah, I didn't think it was a good performance. I just really think he's really pretty to look at.
Oh, come on.
You had a cruder way of expressing that last night,
which I
will not repeat here in this family environment.
I was just too busy screaming at Dave Navarro.
Although, well, is it any surprise that Dave, the guy who wears more makeup than me, Sarah, and Jen combined, liked that whole look?
Seriously. Well, let's talk. So we were at Dante's last night. By the way, I want to thank the, we don't have a name for them yet. The street team is kind of what they are. I don't have a name for them yet. The AM 970, but the street team, our friend, Gia in marketing, everybody went down. The place looked fantastic, last night. There's AM 970 banners everywhere and stickers and whatever. And it looked very cool because that's sort of our official viewing location now for Rockstar Supernova. I'd like to thank, by the way, the guys from KPAM who actually had to come to our event to try to get sound so they could act local.
And the fine folks at Coin who were there filming.
Coin was there too. I saw Coin up on the balcony filming. I gave them the devil horns many times.
Oh boy.
But yeah, it's an event that we're doing. We're there. It's like our thing. We got our banners up before, and I look around. There's some guy from KPAM skulking around with a microphone, attempting to feign some sort of interest in the Portland market that they ostensibly broadcast to. Because Sean Hannity's all about the Rockstar Supernova.
Well, and we also do need to give a shout out to Mike D for hooking us up.
And absolutely.
Thank you,
Mike D. Absolutely.
I did tell him, you know, we went out after, you know, a bunch of us did, so I extended a very warm thank you.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Bye, Helen.
He is married. It was all on the up and up.
Mike D's married?
Yeah, Mel Gibson's married.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the show.
Oh.
Oh, no. See, this is how rumors start. No.
Okay.
Oh, you did say you gave him a very proper thank you.
Thank you.
Is this a Will Smith kind of marriage?
Deeply heartfelt.
Yes.
For going the extra mile for my friends Rick and Sarah. That's kind of, yeah.
Were you taking things in an exciting new direction?
No. I was sitting next to Mike's wife, Angel. And
do they have an understanding?
Do they have an arrangement like Santa and Mrs. Claus?
No. No, nothing like that. Let's talk about the show.
Okay.
Can we get on to that anyway?
All right. So, anywho, so Rockstar Supernova last night. So, first of all, before we do the rundown of the actual show, we want to thank everybody who came out. It was a big turnout. And, I mean, I got to tell you, it was pretty crowded last night. And there's still 10 contestants left. In 3, 4, 5 weeks, that place is going to be shoulder to shoulder. You won't be able to get somebody in there with a shoehorn.
Apparently, Frank said that it's been doubling pretty much every week.
That's
the amount of people.
It's going to be crazy when we start to get down to the top five, I would say.
Yeah.
It was very gratifying to see such a great turnout, and they do the thing where they play the YouTube videos and whatnot beforehand and like the half an hour leading up to that.
Right.
Well, let me make sure I've got the appropriate sound here. Let me open this file. Let's go through kind of the high points, low points, whatever, of last night's Rockstar Supernova. Kristen, if you want to kind of guide us through that, I've got the sound here.
Sure. Well, it's going to be hard though because it was really kind of straight across the board. Everybody was just kind of, you know, there was no real standout performance, I thought.
My favorite was when Jill face planted.
See, I missed it. See, so
great.
Jill is performing, my wife was there, and I turned to say something to Lara. I turned to be like, you know, what a tool, or what. I turned to make some observation, and immediately something happened, and then Sarah yells at me. She's like, you missed the face plant. And so I apparently missed some. Did Jill fall? Did she trip? What happened?
People parted like the Red Sea in front of the
stage. She tried to do a stage dive.
Oh.
And she kind of ended up crumpled in a ball like she was jumping, and there was nobody there to catch her, so she kind of got into a somersault position.
Oh, that's too bad.
And landed on her face.
Oh.
Yeah, did she just like walk in and say, I want my makeup exactly like Storm's?
I think everybody is saying, yeah. I want everything. Like, well, you talked about how Patrice did whatever the hell that song was a couple weeks ago, where the arrangement was made to sound exactly like the Dramarama song.
Yeah.
Last night was underwhelming to me in a lot of ways. In fact, let's start with Storm, actually.
Yeah.
And I will say this. Here's the thing. I don't think it was Storm's standout performance. You know, it was very straightforward. You know, what are you going to do? It would be wrong to drastically rearrange a Queen song to begin with. So she did the right thing.
It's true.
By singing it all the way through. I will say, because people accused, you know, accused if they have a bias or whatever. I will say, at the beginning, it sounded like she was off key.
She was. As I went back and listened and watched the video online, as I do each Wednesday. And listening to it again, it seemed like she was a bit flat for most of the song.
Well, she started a cappella, didn't she?
Yeah, she kind of did. And I don't know, maybe it was a monitor problem.
Well,
quite here, but...
Do you suppose, like, when Storm started, she started at a cappella, and then the band came in, and you got to wonder if you're on the show like that, did they give you whatever, you know, like a, not a tuning fork, but did they give you, like, a starting note or something?
Who knows?
Because she started, you're right, she was a little flat at the beginning, and then she pulled it together, though.
She did. I mean, still, you know, even being a little bit off-key, she still was one of the high points of the show for me. She was still miles above most of the others. You know, she was still fantastic.
I'm asking Jeff.
Are there more notes being passed?
Yes.
No, there's a note
we are
being passed.
Notes, actually.
Really? Were you guys just passing a note?
Yeah.
In the garbage.
Is it about me?
No.
Oh.
Why would we pass a note about you?
Sorry.
Oh, God, it's like high school all over.
I'm sorry. I know if I wore a tracksuit and said, like, fizzle a lot.
Or maybe if you wore a hoodie with a faux hawk on it.
Seriously. We'll talk. Okay, so Storm. So, again, not a bad performance at all, but not, you know, in terms of Storm, not especially, you know, memorable. Just it was a very straightforward, really good. The band loved it, though.
Yeah.
She looked really great.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful voice.
I loved her balls t-shirt.
I was kind of mm-hmm.
And the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And the great thing about last night is because she had told us when she was in the studio making the announcement, because she revealed, which we're very, you know, very proud of, she revealed the whole thing in the studio. She came in, she's like, I'm going to be on this rock star, you know, Supernova. And Joni DeRoshi immediately called, she's like, make her wear a bigger than Jesus shirt. And Storm was like, I can't wear anything. I can't wear any bands, any whatever. So Davey says that a couple weeks ago, though, he gets this call from CBS. They're like, you need to sign an image release form. And he's like, well, for what? And then last night, the great thing was the delayed reaction. Storm comes on the screen. Everybody cheers. Then there's a pause. And then everybody registers that she's wearing a shirt that has a picture of Davey, who is, again, her significant other and musical director for the band. And it says, like, got balls at the bottom because Storm and the Balls is in her band. And there was, like, a second even louder cheer because it was, like, a great shout-out.
It was,
you know,
a Portland moment.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, all right. So what else? What else happened last night of note?
Well, again, Delana was first on. And... For me,
girl,
well,
go away.
Well, she didn't know this Who song, which, you know, I know.
So many of them don't know any of the songs.
Totally.
And thank God they have Storm there because she's always the one in the reality episodes when they're picking songs. It's like singing them to them.
There was somebody else that blew a line last night, and I forget who it was, but Delana seemed... And
it was Josh on Interstate Love Song. He flubbed a couple of lyrics there.
Right, and I guess you get stage fright and whatever, but you're right, Delana...
Well,
this is a broken record about her, but I don't get the Delana love. In fact, right now, let us, while we're thinking about it, Kristen, not to be talking over here, but let's real quickly while we're thinking about it. We don't do this very often where we don't typically do the, and we'd like you to get your thoughts on this topic. Please now call in. But seriously, I want to know if you and I, Kristen, are alone in not getting Delana.
No, I don't get her either, so you're certainly not alone. Just to
well,
you.
All right. So it's 503-733-2970.
Did you watch the reality episode?
I don't. See,
you got to start watching it.
I can't because
those
it's like...
Those are very telling.
They kind of stress me out a little bit. They make me feel a lot of tension for some reason. And then also, I try to avoid spoilers, and sometimes there's spoilers in there, like you know what people are going to sing.
True.
But
that, to me, that leads to my, you know, excitement about the show.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a spoiler because you don't hear them singing.
Well, yeah.
It kind of gets you a background on how some of these people think.
Because yeah.
It seems to me like Delana is really self-conscious and really, you know, not confident in her abilities.
She's getting all devious now, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like that
at
she called everyone idiots.
Yeah, and at the end of the reality, the last reality show, she's like, well, I told him he should sing Creep because that's a very difficult song to do, and I want to see if he can really sing.
Coming from somebody who came
you know,
up with a lyric about lotion and thongs, she
should
be talking.
That was just embarrassing.
Now, when are they going to show those songs?
Because I missed the first part of last night's show. I came in at the end of Delana's performance.
Well, they might
show... Was those songs that they wrote for Supernova?
Oh, I think that that might just be on the reality show. I hope they make them sing it on the
air. I hope so. Well, because...
a little of that tonight, actually.
Well, let's... Scotty is taunting me because he brought an audio from Rockstar and we haven't played any of it yet. So let's... We should actually take this moment to play a couple... This, real quickly here, let's actually play a little bit of Storm's performance.
Right.
We've seen Storm's theatrical side, or as Dave likes to put it, her crazy eye thing. What kind of storm are we going to experience tonight? Well, let's find out. Taking on the Queen Classic, We Are the Champions. Give it up, everyone, for Storm at Large.
I've paid my dues.
Yeah, so you can hear that she's kind of flat there, but...
I've done my sentence. No crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share of sand kicked in my face, but I come through. We are the champions, my friends. And we
So there you go. So that's a little bit of Storm last night. First of all, that band is amazing. You can how much that guy sounds like that guy sounds like Brian May. That guitar tone
can't
is flawless.
Say enough about the house band. That's incredible.
I shouldn't give this away. I shouldn't even give it away. But we're right now. I think in the next probably later this week we're going to have somebody from the house band on the show.
Is it the band leader?
I'm not going to say.
I have a big crush on him. I understand he's married with kids.
I like Raphael.
Like Mel Gibson.
But I love him.
Who's Raphael?
He's the guitar player.
Ah, yes. The girls all... Listen to that. Hot.
Hot.
Hot, Ellen. All right. So, and the judges, of course...
Keyboard.
Storm had a really great moment with the judges, too, last night.
Thank you.
Freddie Mercury is one of rock's all-time greatest singers, and it is really difficult to do any Queen song justice. I think that you did a great job. It's a perfect song to choose, especially in a singing
competition. Can you just roll your eyes, Sarah, at any Dave Navarro comment? Like even a compliment, you're like, screw him!
It was awesome.
The arrangement was killer, right? That middle part was incredible, that whole vocal bit right there. I think even Queen would have stamped an approval on that thing.
You sang the hell out of what a great classic song.
Thank you.
I'm really dumb.
I hope we didn't spook you into, like, not rocking. Looking forward to you going bananas.
Oh, I'll spank the crap out of you again, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Storm.
All right. And I know that Jason Newsted, in particular, is a huge Queen fan. And it's not easy to sing any Freddie Mercury song. I mean, that's really
putting yourself out there to do anything by Queen.
It really is.
Did you guys see that, like, when the Supernova was like, oh, there'll be one day when we all come out and play behind one of you. And Storm, like, they shot back to the contestants, and she was like, pick me.
Well, because didn't they say, because Delana sang that opening song,
yeah.
And didn't they say that no one wanted to sing Won't Get Fooled Again with Gilby Clark?
They all, because she said, I want to do it. And
they all let her.
Kind of said, yeah, okay, it's yours.
And then she called them idiots on the reality show, which I was hoping to God that they were going to actually play that part on the show.
Did she call them idiots for not fighting for the song?
She's like, nobody wanted the song. They're all idiots.
Well, all right. Yeah. We'll talk about that and get your calls about Delana when we return. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. We're talking about Rockstar Supernova. If you're on the whole hang tight, we'll get back to you. We're talking with Kristen from Accounting, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, and all of them. We'll talk about Rockstar Supernova when we return. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.